This call is being recorded.
And we want to thank Yulisa Durden. You are an outspoken journalist. And you have, once again, come into the national spotlight. Most recently, your exchange on the Tucker Carlson show. Now, you made a point to Tucker Carlson that there have been unspoken white-only events in America for decades. Why do you feel that Blacks must always be inclusive and take the higher ground when it comes to honoring ourselves as a people, who, as Tucker seems to feel?
Ask me the question again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it seems that Blacks must always be inclusive and take the higher ground. And that's what Tucker seemed to be saying. Why do you feel that this perception is commonplace with white people?
Well, what that is they're trying to, you know, change the narrative or make African-Americans and people of color, Black and brown people of color, look as if we're the racist and there is a reverse racism happening. There is no such thing as reverse racism. There is no such thing as a person of color being able to act on racism. So rather than accept, well, they know that racism exists. So rather than those individuals who are racist accept the fact that we see it, it's clear. So rather than hide, just accept that we know. They're trying to deflect the racism onto us. It's almost like somebody placing blame on a race victim for wearing tight jeans. Or if the race victim was in a hotel, and got raped, you know, well, why did you go to the hotel on the date? And those kinds of things. So it's a victim blaming thing. And when I say victim blaming, I don't mean with victims. I mean, you know, in the general sense of the word, we've been, there's a perpetrator. Racists perpetrate racism on two people of color in this way. So we're smart enough to know that's like, you know, one of those old pimp games. You know, that's the old player game. We're so over that. And that's why Black Lives Matter made the decision, well, you know, I could care less what you think about it. We're going to be doing this event on Memorial Day. And they made it very clear in their quote. They said, we do not want anyone here if you're not Black, African-American, or identify as such. That was their choice. And so they made no apology for that.
And then we must make it clear that Black Lives Matter is decentralized. It's a movement, correct? And so there were no quote-unquote national leaders in the organization.
Well, Black Lives Matter began as a movement with the hashtag, but they're, you know, they obviously since have, you know, they have a website, and it's quote-unquote, I guess, turned into an organization. There's, I forgot the gentleman's name. He runs their thing out of California, I think. So there's different areas of Black Lives Matter. There's Brooklyn chapter. I'm calling it a chapter, but you can check the word verbiage. But so since it's gotten groundswell over the last couple of years, it has morphed into more than just a movement. It is a fully functioning organization that's grown. I guess sort of similar, not the exact same, to how things were in the beginning of the NAACP back years ago. It's very, very established now with chapters and all that. So I'm seeing where the way the pacing's going, that they probably have something very similar happening. If they continue, like the NAACP, where some years of chapters in different states, it was beginning to come on now. So they have something in Brooklyn, the young ladies who founded it are out of California, and so forth and so on. So I think it's a growing organization. But it did begin as a movement.
Well, let's go back to the show real quick. What type of reaction did you get personally after your appearance on the show? Did you get emails, Facebook posts, and social media? Did it shock you at all?
Well, I've gotten a bunch of kinds of reactions. So I'll polarize it for you. Many racist white people inbox me. They hit me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and I'm talking they with hard. They've called me everything but a nappy-headed hoe. They called me a race baiter, nigger bitch. I mean, they called me coon. I mean, you know, it's interesting how white folks, when you are racist white folks, let's be very clear, not just white folks in general, when you're running around living your normal life, you're facing people that may or may not be racist, you don't know, you know, it seems like some white folks act like they don't know anything about you, but when they want to call you nappy headed hoe, not all of a sudden they'll know the word nappy. So they know stuff. Because it comes out when they want to show they're racist. So I got those kinds of call up. And I got some emails, you know, I have a website, and I've got new people trying to call my house, and, you know, people made a page, one lady made a page called, you know, boycott Lisa Durden. So those are the things that happened. However, I've gotten an overwhelming response from people who agreed with what I did in the fashion I did it. People of all races and genders wrote me the same thing. Thousands of people wrote me and inboxed me and put stuff on my Twitter. You should see my regular Facebook page of all the different reposting and things, saying you did the right thing. White just said, yes, there isn't such a thing as, you know, white folks admitted there is such a thing as, you know, white privilege. And they're battling out there for me saying this lady did the right thing. She didn't deserve to be fired from the college, reinstate her. So those things made it worth my while to read that everyone in America is not terrible, and I never said they were. Most people in America are, for the most part, good people, no matter what the color. So I never said all whites are racist. So let me just make sure I phrase it so that they know. When I was on the show, I was talking about those white people who were angered by what they did. That was the front for what the show was about. I was invited on the show to discuss the groundswell against them after the fact. I wasn't there to talk about random white people. I was there to talk about the white people who got angered by that fact of what happened on Memorial Day. That was a couple weeks after Memorial Day that we should talk. So, fast forward, let me make sure I'm clear. The white people who were not angered by that fact that Black Lives Matter chose to do this safe spaces, meeting, and celebration on Memorial Day, I'm not talking about it. All of the white people who were angered by it, you just told on yourself. You are a racist. Because if you were not, you would not have gotten angered by it. You would not have been angered by it. So if you were angered by it, you just told on yourself. He muted my mic when I said, you just told me, so he muted the mic. So yes, Tucker Carlson, producer. So that's what I mean. And you know, you're 6 minutes to speak, so you have to kind of crunch all your talking points into that time. So that wasn't extremely clear because folks said, you know, she said all white, 100% all white people. So I'm just want to bring clarification to that.
Now, speaking truth to power, some would say has led to your termination at Essex County College. Why will you continue to stand in your truth?
Why do I stand in my truth?
Why will you continue to stand in your truth?
Yeah, you know, because I was called to do so. Listen, people don't understand something about Lisa Durden. I'm the biggest punk in America. I can't beat nobody. I can't fight. I mean, I fight, but I lose. So, like, I'm not that girl that's going to go out there to Ferguson and march, you know, for Eric Garner and do all that. That's hard. When I see people going out and doing all these marches against, you know, injustices and these, you know, racist police departments are shooting them or pushing them down, and this is still happening in 2017, I think that's such a brave thing to do, and I just don't have it. But when I went on Kelly Files a little bit over a year ago, to talk about Black Lives Matter, and I was on there, and after I left there, that was my first time ever on Fox, and when I left there, I've gotten all these notifications of hate and love, but I was looking at the amount of hate, or even the kind of hate that was so hateful, that I said, oh my God, this is terrible, and I had vowed, I'm never going on Fox again. But when I got called to come back, then I had to make a decision. So I said to myself, Lisa, you're being called to do this. So I had to think to myself, well, you're really a punk. You're not going to go march. Well, those folks are already handling that in that lane. But you always pump your fist from home watching television. So listen, since you are a TV personality, you are a journalist who has an expertise in pop culture, politics, and social issues, which I've done, you know, on many shows before. I write a blog. I have a talk show that's local, and I talk about those things. You know what, Lisa? this is your chance to now turn the tide. You see the hate, you've got to do what you can to combat it. So I chose to go on after the first time because I was supposed to do so because I saw some of hate and I couldn't believe the amount of hate and the way that it was being portrayed. So that's what made me decide to go on Fox again. And then, of course, the rest of the season, I've gone on Fox many times after the second time. I've gone on many times on the Kelly Files. I've gone on Fox and Friends. And now the summer, this is my first time going on summer call. And see, it's akin to this. You know, I don't like beef. I don't like carrots. I don't like rubble grass. However, they're good for you. So my thought was, well, I don't like talking about issues of race, but it's good to do. Because these issues are make people uncomfortable, and it's a hard type conversation. So I just think I make myself do it. It's a labor of love, and I have to do it. So that's why I would go on top of Fox again. And just so people know, Fox has already told me to put back on Fox. People think Fox is not caring about this. Fox is not the person that fired me. Every county college fired me for simply exercising my right to free speech. They were the ones that punished me for it. Tucker Carlson and Fox told me again to come on last week to be on the panel to talk about Donald Trump and where he is in terms of presidency. He thinks he's doing a good job. I turned it down because can you imagine if I'm on Fox talking about Black Lives Matter and I get death threats? I got a white man who put a picture of his fake penis and his balls on my inbox is saying, suck his dick, black dick, and I'm speaking Polish. And so if I got that when I'm sitting there defending the right for black folks to be in a safe space with me, can you imagine if I'd gone on Fox last week, sitting on a panel, and my black face is ripping Donald Trump? I would have been shot before I left the building. So I turned that one down. And it was interesting. They've never called me on Fox before to talk about generic things like politics. They only called me on Fox to talk about issues of race that are political. Never just your political cleansing, and let's talk about politics. So I'm thinking, no, we ain't doing that, because we already had this, you know, inflammatory debate with Tucker Carlson. They're going to turn around 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, and talk about Donald Trump. Nah, I'll go on there again to talk about issues of race like I've been doing. But I ain't going on there talking about Donald Trump. That's a death threat. So my thing is this. I've gotten death threats. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, as they say, God don't promise you tomorrow. But I tell you what, if I get shot in front of my house, I'd rather do that than have my body shipped back from somewhere with some racist situation. So let me just get shot in front of my house. If you want to come and get me, you got to come and get me in Newark. And at least I'm home. I'm not going to sit there and be in New York or Ferguson and some racist idiot shoot me down because of my view. So, So that I declined. So, be real clear. When I said on that video, I said, I'll be back. I'll see you in a month. It was less than a month. Not Tucker Carlson show, but Fox News has many shows I've been on more than one of them. So this is just kind of like, you know, I've been at the rodeo more than once. But so I turned that down because I'm not going to get on there talking about Donald Trump. Can you imagine? A black woman, they couldn't handle me talking. The issue was, I think, also, too, I mean, I don't know, the school didn't tell me the reason other than what I've shared many times in the public. When I got the letter of suspension, I was in HR. The lady had the letter on the table. Karen, I forgot her name, I can't see the name, but it's been tough as hell. The vice president was sitting there, Vice President Dr. Lee. And she just told me, you know, they're suspending me and, you know, indefinitely, and they were going to pay me for the rest of the semester, which was only another week. And didn't even know for the reason why. She forced me to ask her why. And I said, well, is there a reason? She said, well, we got a complaint. She said, we got a complaint that she wants Tucker's process, Tucker's show, and you mentioned your affiliation with the college. So I said, well, if you saw the video, you would know that I never did that. I never made mention of being a professor here or the college at all. Because really, I'm a new professor, right? So I just began in January. So I'm not used to calling myself a professor. So I wouldn't even thought to say Professor Dirt. So it just so happened that I didn't think to do it, but I was thinking to myself, so what if I did? That's my credential. Many times you see people white on television shows, professor from Harvard, Joe Blow, or professor from Yale, you know, Jane Doe. They love knowing that they're a professor from a college, so that should be great. So you're saying if I had, that's a bad thing? Luckily I didn't. or it didn't matter, they still, you know, offended me. And so because it, I taught mass communication and popular culture in the spring, January. That's what I teach. And then they brought me up to the summer session. And that's how I was teaching in the summer session one, Affection Speaks. So when I said to her, I never made mention of that, then she thought she had still been investigated. Why am I being suspicious? Now her next iteration was, well, that's what we're looking into now. We're investigating to see if there was a conflict of interest. Really, girl? Really? So now I'm like real grown. My mother always raised me. You ain't got to beg nobody. You ain't got to beg nobody. So I'm not going to sit there and debate with this chick. So I just, when it was over, she finished and said that they gave me the letter. It was already signed. There was no due process. No due process. No questions. No, let me look into this to see if it's true. Zero due process. That's why I said in previous interviews, this was a modern-day lynch. A lynching, let me break down lynching, because if you're a black person and you know your history, it's the history. A lynching is something that happens to us back in slavery and even after, where when we did an infraction, or they thought we did an infraction, or if they said we broke the law, or we did something that was just like pretty much rogue law. There was no jury of our peers. There was no due process. They decided you did this, nigga, I'm going to hang you from a tree. And they picked it on a Sunday. They all came in. The kids were there. It was an event. So mine was very similar, except for it's not an actual hanging, but mine was an event. I walked to the building that day. I was approached by Dr. Rivera, who was told to do it. He was mortified. And I was marched to my classes. I was told to tell me class was canceled. I was mortified. I never said to them why. Class was canceled, just say class was canceled. Can you imagine why class was canceled? The professor was standing right there. And then he was told to march me up to HR. I was marched up to HR. Okay, a lynching. No jury of my peers. No, zero, due process. I walk in, and it was as simple as, she said, the first sentence, we are suspending you because we're suspending you until otherwise notified, and blah, blah, blah. The letter, you can pull the quote from there. There was no reason even in the letter itself. So that's why I call it modern-day lynching, and I'm going to continue to call it that. I don't care who's there. Because it was a modern-day lynching. That means zero due process, no jury of your peers. They decide, roll justice, and they change. So I was hanged systematically and in front of my students. And what made it more mortifying is I knew the whole building knew before I got in the building because my students, I never told them where I was going. When I left the conference room, I found out by the assistant that my students were upstairs on the fifth floor in HR looking for me. I was mortified. They found me in HR being fired. Well, you know, they suspended, but, you know, when you say a black person is suspended, that's, you know, that's code for your fire. So now I'm thinking, oh, my God, they know I'm being fired. Now I want to just, like, fall off the floor. I became physically ill. So they found out that I was up there being fired. I didn't know how they found out because it's all happening at once. So then Dr. Rivera, who was mortified because he likes me, he knows I'm a professional, but he's the head of the humanities department, so he was doing what he was told. So he said, Lisa, stand right here. I'm going to go in and talk to you. Just stay in another room. So that was fine. They came out. I don't know what he said. We walked in the elevator. We were all there. It was just, like, awkward. And I'm like, mortified. I'm trying to hold myself together. And then I just kind of broke the ice to listen, don't worry about your grades. You know, your grades are going to be cool. It's a week left. We've done more speeches than required, you know, because I always do more than what's required. I always expect a lot of my students. And then I got downstairs and walked out of the elevator and I went back in the building again until the Board of Trustees meeting on the 20th, that week I chose to go to. And later on, one of my students saw me in Newark. I live in the city of Newark, where the school is. I'm a person in the community. And she said, I said, well, how did you guys know? It's like a week or so later. I said, did you know? We started asking around the building. We were like, where did Professor Durden go? So if they're asking around the building, that means the whole building is buzzing. That's a modern-day legend. How did they just randomly ask people walking around, the security guard or this? They randomly asked around when they walked up to the class, where's Professor Durden? They asked other professors next door. they asked students, they asked security, and it turned up that they found out I was up there. That means it was already spread before I walked in the building. Yes, that was a modern day legend.
Lisa, what you're describing is tortuous and very, very stressful. You share with us what your next steps are as you go forward in this crisis?
Well, let me just say this, and I'll hopefully morph into that. You know, the most important thing right now is for me to make sure, and you can use the hashtag in your tweet, hashtag reinstate Professor Lisa Durbin. This is the hashtag that's going around. So my first immediate goal is for them to reinstate them. We've had a press conference, I'm going to need some assistance to do those. There was a press conference that the organization called Faculty and Students Unite to reinstate Professor Lisa Durbin. There is a petition that they started that has over 2,000 signatures, electronic petition, I'll give you that. And so that's my immediate goal, because I am qualified and I deserve that position. In fact, by the time the middle of May came, I was already scheduled and hired for September, coming up in the fall, for 3 classes. I was already scheduled to teach mass communication and popular culture and 2 public speaking classes. I was killing the game. Then in June, you tell me I'm suspended and subsequently I'm fired as of last week. So that was in play now. Unfortunately or fortunately, this has gone viral. Now, unbeknownst to me, people are after me. I'm being very sought after by several colleges. I have not started to really respond because I'm just trying to dig my way out of this situation. I've been hit up for many people like yourself and, television shows and radio shows and different to give them interviews. I've been invited to sit on a panel in July of something big happening in Newark on the 13th that's talking about race, and I've been hit up for that. And some teacher demons want to do a reality show around what has happened. And so it's just very interesting. So I'm never sure what's real, what's not real. I have to Google folks and stuff and see who are you. So I'm, sifting through all of that. But yes, I'm being very sought after now. It's a good thing and a bad thing. It's sad that, we're in a society where, celebrity is everything. Of course, celebrity is great. I love celebrities too. I enjoy taking a nice, Instagram shot in a selfie with a celebrity. But I was already valid before this, drama happened. And now I'm trending 17 million people, over 17 million people hit, watch the video, and you have 17 million hits. I was trending yesterday, the top trending yesterday in the news feed over the presence of 2 other people. That's true, but I'm suffering. So, in other words, until I began to suffer, I was not valid by the large society. Okay, that's fine. We love celebrity. So the good part of it is, okay, this is bad news. Because now my name is known and people are seeing what's happening and they know what I do, people are having an interest. Okay, it's not a thing. But I wish people had an interest in people because they have merit, not just because they are celebrities. It's okay to also want to get down with someone because they're celebrities. It shouldn't be the only reason. I was already qualified and bona fide before that. I was a stellar professor. When they did the press conference last week, many people came out, professors and students from the school. And that same day, the 20th of June, at the end of the day, they had a board of trustees meeting, and we went to that and spoke to the board of trustees and the president of the school and the vice president of the school. Many people came to the mic and spoke on my behalf. Dr. DeFries and Professor Wager and people I didn't even know, like students that go there, students that went there, and people from student organizations. And, everybody was speaking and saying, in different ways why they're going. I can see a couple of books of that. So, this is a great thing. I just am saddened by that people had to learn about what I do from this. I was doing it before that. I was at Edwards County College for 15 years gratis. I didn't get paid for many years that I came to that school and sat on panel before I was a professor. I was there when a professor Wager asked me to do a workshop because she knows that's what I do for a living as a producer and a TV personnel in the communications department. I always called her and say, hey, do you have any students that I can give internships to when I'm producing Soul Food Junkie with the North Project and Brick City, the Sundance, a docu-series that I did in 2009, produced, directed by Mark Levin and Forrest Whitaker. Like, I've done these kinds of projects in front of the camera and behind the camera as well. So I'm a TV personality who's also a producer of feature films and documentaries. And I reached out and said, hey, give me some of your students. Think about it. Students that are attending college, first of all, county colleges in general are schools that are afterthoughts for internships. People want folks from four-year colleges and Ivy League schools. But think about Newark and Texas County College in Newark. Your chance is afterthought. So because I'm from Newark, I wanted to offer Essex County College students these opportunities because it's hard to get in there because I know that they can do this. So that's what's that. So I'm going to look into all these people reaching out saying that they want things and hire me and maybe bring some shows. I'll sift through what's the garbage from what's authentic and then go from there. But it's sad that they had to take this, but I've been around there 15 years before I got the job. So it made sense that when something opened that Lisa's already been in the school working population, give her this opportunity, which I was qualified. That's it. And just as a note, don't be fooled. Essex County College knew that I did this for a living because I was a working filmmaker and I was a working TV personality. They had my curriculum vitae, which is 10 pages long. And in that 10-page long CV, I put links to clips of when I was on mini shows on Fox, when I've been talking about Black when I've been on Channel 11 talking about different things or CT style, fun conversations, not always typing. So they knew they'd been here for a year. So that means they're playing to the racist society and they got rid of it because somebody didn't like it on that show. It was not because they didn't know. As recent as March, this March 2017, they invited me to be on a panel called their own panel. I was invited to be on a channel called Radical Women in Media. Oh, they love radical. It was that somebody didn't like it, whoever that is, and I don't know, and now they're chow-chowing to it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know who that is.
Wow. Lisa, yeah. I want to thank you so much for the time that you've given me here, and we're going to stay in contact with you and follow this through. It sounds like you got some great things going on.
Yeah, I do, and I'm gonna take advantage of them. But I still want to be reinstated because as a freelance person, we still want to be professors. Melissa Harris Perry had a great time at MSNBC. She was still a professor. Spike Lee's a filmmaker. He's still a professor at NYU. I want to be a professor as well. I will still be a professor. Another thing, people in my industry.